Last week, I started a new series titled, The Holy Spirit in You. The Holy Spirit in You. And last week, we learned about how the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. There's God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All three are God, but they have different purposes to fulfill. And so as we think about the Holy Spirit in you, we learn that the Holy Spirit is God's active presence in your life. If you want to experience life change, if I do, we've got to work with the Holy Spirit in our life. Who is it? It's God's active presence in my life. And we learn that the Holy Spirit is like a GPS. It's a satellite system that God directs our life if we're listening. If we want to be directed and somehow have the blessing of God in our life, in the decisions we make, the places we go, who we are in on the inside, the GPS system, the Holy Spirit, will guide and direct us if we give him that opportunity in our lives. Well, this morning is going to be part two, and the title of today's message is this: What the Holy Spirit Makes Possible. I want to talk about today what is possible in your life because of the Holy Spirit living there. It's amazing the opportunities and the blessings God will pour into your life if we have an ear to listen and walk in step with the Spirit of God in our lives. So in Acts chapter 2, there's a few verses printed in your bulletin. I'd like for us to read those together as a primary text this morning. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is from Acts chapter 2. And we find here that God is proclaiming a promise. That in the last days, and truly we have to be in the last days, in light of the earthquakes, the famines, the storms, the pandemics, all the things going on in our world, we are in the last days. But here's the great promise of God. He says, I will pour out my spirit upon men and women. He says, in those days, I will pour out my GPS navigational system, the presence of God himself, into any life who's open to receiving it. It's interesting, he says, there will be sons and daughters. Old men will dream dreams. Young men will see visions. Age is irrelevant. You could be young, you could be old. Makes no difference. God will pour out his spirit if we are open to receiving it. And so he tells us in the last days, he wants to do something in our lives that we think may not be even be possible. Because when the Spirit of God dwells in us, as we learned last week, all things are possible. All things become a probability. All things that seem impossible can be made possible because of the Spirit of God living inside us. I want us to try and comprehend the fact that God himself, who is alive in the third heaven, wants to live in us as human beings. I mean, think about it. The Spirit of the living God, we are his temple. And this Holy Spirit, the active presence, lives inside us. And he says, I'm going to pour out my spirit to people who want to be directed by me as I live in them and through them. In 1983, Chuck Swindoll writes in his book, Embraced by the Spirit, John Sculley worked for PepsiCo. He'd been there about 10 years, high-level executive, probably making good money for that era. And there's a guy by the name of Steve Jobs, who was an entrepreneur, one of the co-founders of Apple. He spoke with John Sculley, and he said, John, I want you to come work for Apple. So John Sculley had to make a decision. 10 years, he's an executive, PepsiCo, good money, good benefits, probably good pension, the whole nine yards. And he had to make a decision. Do I continue with PepsiCo, or do I go to work for Apple, which was an upstart business back in the 80s, untested, just kind of like an idea. A few people had a dream. What do I do? Here's what Steve Jobs asked John Sculley before he made the decision. He says, do you want to spend the rest of your life selling sugared water, or do you want a chance to change the world? I mean, I guess the word that Chuck Swindoll, he was goaded with that question. Do you want to continue to sell sugared water, PepsiCo, all the rest of your life, or do you want an opportunity to change the world? When I read that quote and I reflect on it, here's what I think. We as believers often settle for sugared water to guide our life, rather than the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that God wants to pour out upon us. We substitute the Spirit of God, the boldness, the power, the privileges, the benefits for sugared water, whatever that means to each of us. We fill our life with different things to help guide us to go forward. I want to share today three thoughts about what the Holy Spirit makes possible in your life and mine if we want it, all right? And so let's get started. It's in your notes. Number one, the first thing the Holy Spirit makes possible is this. You and I can be saved. You and I can be saved. Read with me Acts 2:21 in your notes. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Circle the word everyone. That includes every person here, every person online, every person in Walton, every person in America, every person in any country. Anyone and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know why and how? Through the power of the Holy Spirit that God has poured out upon mankind, including us. And so we find here that the first thing the Spirit of God wants to do is for each of us to know we are saved. I want to show you a picture. This is the most important kind of salvation. It means that after we physically die, we will be with God in heaven. We will be perfect, free from sin and suffering. The number one thing God wants to plant in each heart here today is the assurance of your salvation, that you're on your way to heaven. Now, I've come to realize over the years, people have different levels of assurance. If you ask one person who is strong in their faith and you say, well, what do you think about heaven? He or she would say, I believe if I die today, I know I'm going to heaven. It's a high assurance level. There's other people that are kind of in the middle. They think, well, I think I'm okay. And there's a little bit of hesitation, a little bit of confidence, but they're somewhere in the middle. There's others that really aren't sure. Understand that the Holy Spirit wants to do something in your life where you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you died today, you would go to heaven. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. God pours out his Spirit upon us. You know why? He wants to rescue us. So here's a picture. Just a good question. Why do I need to be saved? I mean, for many, you've heard this many times, but the answer is this. The Bible says that we've all sinned, we're separated from God, and we need a reconnection. How does that happen? We reconnect through the power of the Holy Spirit with God Himself. So here's the other question. How can I be saved? How do I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is in my life, the Holy Spirit lives there, and I'm good? And I can go to bed tonight, get up tomorrow, I just know I'm okay. I may have issues in life, but I've settled and resolved this fundamental question, am I really going to heaven? The answer is in John 1:12 in your notes. Let's read it together. Yet all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Let me just break it down. How can I be saved? We must receive the gift of forgiveness from God through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. And when we do that, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside us and he gives the assurance that I'm okay. I may have an imperfect past, but it's forgiven. I'm cleansed. I'm forgiven. God gives that assurance when we believe and trust in what Jesus did on the cross. Now, understand that everybody here, whenever we receive Jesus into our life, the Holy Spirit comes into our life. They're together. It's not one or the other. They're both together. And the Spirit of God is always tied to the Word of God. They're all in agreement. So assurance comes from when the Spirit lives within us. Now, I want to read for you verses 9 and 10 in your notes that Paul writes in Romans 8. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. I want you to circle the word alive. When Christ enters into anyone's life, the Holy Spirit comes in at the same time. But here's a key thought I want to plant in each of our hearts. I have found that as you journey through life, life can get stale. I go to work, I come home. I go to work, I go to family functions. And all of a sudden, I'm on autopilot, going through the motions, and here's what's missing. My aliveness to life on the inside. As a matter of fact, I can even feel dead. But Paul says, when Christ is in your life, the Holy Spirit comes in at the same time. And when the Holy Spirit is in there, listen, he brings aliveness to life. If you're here today and you've been through a tough, difficult season of life, and you might feel a little bit, it's routine, it's monotonous, it's just kind of plain, and your aliveness is gone. You know what the secret is? The Holy Spirit that lives inside you can be poured out upon you. Doesn't make any difference what your age is, young, medium, or old. It makes no difference. When Jesus is in your life, aliveness can happen anytime, any place, anywhere, because he's inside of you. And so if you're sensing this, I just feel like I'm in the humdrum of life. Hey, let God pour out his Spirit upon you, because when you are saved, when you reconnect with God, there's an aliveness that he brings to each of us when we turn to him and ask him to pour out something new in our life, and he quickens us, and all of a sudden, I'm alive on the inside. Many people, we look at each other, we're alive on the outside physically, but we don't feel alive on the inside. There's a hole there. And the secret is God wants to quicken us and make us alive. I think it's Saint Ignatius says this, the glory of God is when man is fully alive. You know what glorifies God the most? When you're alive on the inside. You know why? Jesus died for you to have that. And so he's most glorified when you have this spark of excitement about life on the inside. And all of a sudden, you get up in the morning, you're excited about the day. And God just fans the flame through the power of the Spirit, and it all happens after Christ enters our life and we live in connection to him. So what does the Spirit make possible? We can be saved from our sins, but listen, it's deeper than that. He brings aliveness to our life on the inside. Number two. The second point is probably my favorite point of the whole message. It's this. You can be empowered. You can be empowered. Let's read together Acts 4:13 in your notes. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Okay, previous chapter. Peter and John go to the temple. They see a guy that's been crippled from birth. He's a beggar. The beggar asks them for money. Peter and John say this, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have I'm going to give you." And so they said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk." So this guy that had been crippled from birth got up and started walking around. It was a miracle. There was great pushback from the religious leaders of that day, and Peter and John started to take some heat because of the stir of the moment. But the word I want to focus on is in the first line of the verse. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John. Because let me tell you the backstory of these guys' lives. In that verse, it says they were unschooled and ordinary. You may be here today and feeling like you did not get all the education you always wanted to get in life. Maybe you raised a family. Maybe, I don't know, a lot of circumstances. And you may be sitting there and you feel like, I'm unschooled. Maybe you feel ordinary. You're just a regular person. You work, you do good things, and you just feel average and you feel ordinary. Same thing about Peter and John. They were unschooled. They were ordinary. But something caught the attention of the religious folks because when they saw this guy get healed, there was an aliveness around these guys' life that wasn't theirs. And so it said, they says they were astonished and they took note that these people had been with who? Jesus. In other words, the relationship with Christ made the difference. Now, we know that Peter and John were just regular, ordinary people. And now here there are heroes, there are mentors. We look to them, this amazing miracle happened through them. But let me share another verse that helps us, all right? Matthew 26:56. Jesus is still alive. He's about to go to the cross, but here's what it says. Then all of the disciples deserted him and fled. All of them. Judas, we know, betrayed him. All the other 11 deserted Christ and they fled. You know what that means? They blew it. They just messed up. You know, Peter denied Jesus 3 times in the garden. And then it says all of them, not just one or two, but all of them. These guys messed up. They flunked out. They didn't pass. They goofed up. Just like us. You ever think your past is too big of a hurdle for God to use you going forward? I think we all have. These guys were like that too. I mean, they denied Jesus in the heat of the moment when they should have stood up for him, and they failed him. But now, some days later, a couple months later, they are in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit came upon them. And you know what happened? They got courage back. You know what we need in our Christian life today is some courage. You know where we get it? The Holy Spirit. What's he do? He empowers us to believe for something better. So God took a couple ordinary guys who were unschooled, no less, who had failed in their past, poured the Holy Spirit into them, and all of a sudden, they have bravery, they have a sense of boldness, they have grit, they have audacity, they have courage, and they're going out, and through the aliveness of Christ in them, they're touching other people's lives. God wants to empower you today. He wants you to somehow move past the limitations of the past, and we all have them, things that hold us back. God, how can you use me? This happened to me. That happened to me. I feel bad about it. Same thing with Peter and John. And they became courageous believers. So the question is, how does he do this? How does God empower ordinary, unschooled people like us? Let's read Acts 1:8 in your notes. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Here's the secret. When the Spirit of God comes upon you, you've got power. You have aliveness. You have a sense of purpose. You have a sense of, I want to do better. And there's an empowerment and a confidence that comes. Romans 12:2, Paul wrote this. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. You know what that is? Sugared water. Doing the stuff the way the world does it is sugared water to the Christian. And Christians, unfortunately, in America, have a lot of sugared water. And I'm not talking about the drink. I'm just talking about what we fill our life with. Our lives as Christians sometimes are no different than the people who don't call themselves Christians. You know why? We're drinking too much sugared water from the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So here's the deal. Power comes from the Holy Spirit and transforms us, and we live a life of courage like Peter and John despite our past. I got a couple slides I want to show you. This is, for some people here, this will be the best insight of the entire message. Go ahead and put it up, Jake. Being filled with the Spirit doesn't make you exempt from problems and attacks. It means you're empowered for them. Somebody here needed to hear that. It doesn't mean we're exempt from difficult things in life, but what it does mean, we get power from a source that makes us deal with victoriously the issues in our life. That's what happened to Peter and John. When the Holy Spirit came upon them, they were empowered to be different people. God is calling each of us to live empowered lives through the power of his Spirit. Doesn't mean we won't have problems. But he'll give us strength to live victoriously in the face of them. Here's another quote. The scriptures were not given to increase our knowledge, but to change our lives. Do you realize that God wants to pour out his Spirit upon you? This GPS navigational system, divine guidance, God's blessing, a place where, like Peter and John, the miraculous intersects with the ordinary, everyday kind of living, and it's supposed to transform us, and that's what he's calling you and me to live. So what does the Spirit of God make possible? Number one, you and I can be saved, reconnected to God, know for 100% assurance that where you're going after you die. And he brings aliveness with us, with him on the inside. Number two, I love this one. You can be empowered. I want you to open your heart today and let God empower you despite the circumstances of your life. Just let him pour his Spirit into you. Number three, Third point I just want to share is this. You can be filled with the Spirit repeatedly. So, as I mentioned before, when Jesus comes into our life, the Spirit of God comes in at the same time. He lives there. It's his residence. But we can be filled and refilled with the Spirit repeatedly. It's fuel for our lives. It's like gas in a car. It gives us power and energy. Read with me the first verse in your notes. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were just filled up. And so you have a tank inside you. Call it a gas tank in which God's Spirit as fuel can fill you repeatedly when we're open to it. And let's read the last couple of verses in Ephesians. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Here's what he's saying. Be careful what you put inside you, because that will control you. And he says, the Spirit of God, be filled with it. You know why? So he can control every part of your life. I've got a couple of slides I want to show you. Here's the first one. God commands us to be filled with the Spirit. And if we're not filled, it's because we are living beneath our privileges. I've lived many times, many months, perhaps years, beneath the privileges of God because I didn't claim them as my own. Here's another one. O Holy Spirit, descend plentifully into my heart, enlighten the dark corners of this neglected dwelling, and scatter there thy cheerful beams. It's by St. Augustine. In other words, God, just come and flood my heart with your Spirit where it's dark and dreary and perhaps monotonous, where I'm not alive. Come and fill it so that I can experience aliveness. And I have to say again, age is not the issue. It's irrelevant. It's whether we allow God's Spirit into our hearts to create the aliveness and the cheerful beams of his presence. And here's one last slide. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, in the book of Acts, Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was given, you know, there was fire, there was a lot of things that were very spiritual experience, but there was a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus spoke of that. We can get baptized by water in a swimming pool or a river, but a baptism of the Holy Spirit is something different. It's when the Spirit of God does something in our lives and creates a new spark where we surrender all we know of our hearts to him. He comes in and his presence just fills us. That is the baptism of the Spirit of God upon our lives. And you know what happens when that happens? We become a John and a Peter. We're unschooled. We're ordinary. We've messed up in the past. But God's grace is bigger yet. He forgives us and he says, listen, going forward, I will pour out my Spirit upon any person who is hungry and thirsty for it if they give me that opportunity. And Jesus says that we can be baptized in the power of his Spirit. Who's the Spirit? Third person of the Trinity, his active presence in our life. What excites me the most is that he can make me alive on the inside. I mean, we all want that, regardless of age. I just want to be alive. And I want to see the miraculous, like John and Peter did when the blind or the beggar guy who was crippled from birth, a miracle happened. Hey, that can happen today if we allow God's Spirit to work in us and through us. Let's bow for prayer. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to just ask you a couple questions. The first one is this. Have you ever received Jesus Christ into your life? And do you have the 100% assurance that heaven is your future home if you died today? That's the first thing the Spirit wants to do for you. So I'm going to lead us in a simple prayer. Many of you are believers already, those listening online. Maybe a prayer of recommitment, but just pray it silently after me. Father in heaven, thank you that you love me. I confess I need you. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again the third day. And he's alive forevermore. Right now by faith, I open my heart. And I invite Jesus Christ into my life. Or I recommit my life to him. Bring aliveness to my life. In your name I pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time of receiving Christ into your life, put your hand up, put it down. Anybody here? Very good. Father, I now pray for a group of people that need to be empowered. People that have maybe had some tough things come about in their life, and in the quietness of this moment, I pray that you will pour out your Spirit in this very moment upon them. You'll just fill their tanks, encourage them, give them courage, give them boldness, give them a sense of mission in life, give them an excitement about life in the face of the struggles of their life. So Lord, right now, I pray you'll just pour out your Spirit upon each individual heart. And as St. Ignatius said, the glory of God is man and woman fully alive on the inside. I pray right now you'll birth a new aliveness by the power and the baptism of the Holy Spirit in their life. Father, may it be powerful yet quiet. May they be moved. May the Spirit of God take over areas of our heart that are hurting and wounded, but you will come in and inhabit and shine your beams of mercy and grace into those darkened areas. Father, bless each person here today, those watching online, that we might experience the fullness of your Spirit in repeated fillings, in Jesus' name, amen.